When he speaks from the Spirit, he's always been right. When he speaks from the heart spirit, he's never been wrong.
When he speaks out of his mind. Maybe half and half. When he's doing good. Come on now, can I do that to your leader here tonight? Nobody's upset? Nobody's mad? I want to always be in the
Spirit
and quit being led by my carnal mind. Now somebody says, well, are Christians carnal? Paul said he was carnal and he was a Christian. Romans chapter 7. So turn to the one next to you and say, Paul said he was carnal. Turn to them. Say that now. Paul said he was carnal. Right? And can Christians be carnal? How many have heard of a carnal Christian? We looked at the word carny in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the Italian, in the Spanish, and we found carny means meat. Chili con carne. It's beans with meat. How many understood that? Beans with meat. And when I found out that Christians have carnal minds, I discovered the Bible says we're a bunch of meatheads. Turn to the one next to you now. How many already knew this before they came here tonight? Bunch of meatheads. How many have ever been insulted so much? This is real. The reason I'm doing this to you with the jokes is because if I let you have it without all this laughing, there'd be a lot of people that couldn't stand it. They would be so mad at all the insults that were thrown at them. Look, the only thing that's wrong with me is that God's not finished. Praise God. That's the only thing that's wrong. Now, God is busy. For you see, he started out and he sent Jesus to my heart spirit. And every reference to the salvation that Jesus brought is a past tense verb. Say it to yourself. Past tense verb. Jesus Christ. Every reference to the salvation or deliverance. How many understand the word deliverance and salvation are synonymous? The deliverance or salvation brought by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, every one of those verbs are present progressive tense. How many think they see where I'm coming, what I'm driving at? Present progressively, the Holy Ghost is engrafting the Word of God to your soul mind, changing you, saving your soul, even though Jesus already saved your our spirit, because that's past tense, every reference. Did you hear me now? Listen, I teach these lessons all around the nation to hundreds of thousands of people every year, and if I was wrong, surely a theologian would show me. I have read every reference to every one of these words in the Scripture, checked it out in the Greek and the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff with my Strongs and Youngs and how many know what I'm talking about, and I cannot find a single exception to these rules. Jesus Christ already in the past saved my spirit. The Holy Ghost in the present, progressively, is saving my soul. And in the future, the glory of God the Father will inhabit this physical body. That's full salvation. That's the full gospel. Are we caught that or not? The salvation of the spirit and the soul and the body are the full gospel. The gospel that says that Jesus is interested in the whole part of man, not just some eternal, ethereal thing that's going to fly away, oh glory. A few years ago, I used this chart. I have to tell you the truth, Charles. This is not a picture of you. I just made that up. But I used this chart, and I had it down in Brazil, South America, where I was teaching about 500 local pastors on the Bible, the scriptures about spirit and soul and body, and showing how that Jesus in the past already entered the heart, that the Holy Ghost is changing their minds, and that the glory of the Father wants to inhabit the physical bodies, or God the Father wants to put that glory on them, and that they stand a chance, just like you and I, of entering into immortality. How many have heard that word? The missionaries took me aside and said, "Brother Ebaugh, this lesson is too complex. Most of these ministers have come here, and a lot of them are just illiterate and learning to read and so forth, and they can't understand what you're teaching." Well, the fact is that as they asked me questions in the Portuguese, and my translator was giving the answers back and so forth, I could tell they were understanding. How many know you can tell in a conversation by the question and the type whether somebody's understanding or not? All those Portuguese-speaking Brazilians were understanding what I was teaching on spirit, soul, and body. The only people who couldn't understand what I was teaching were the missionaries. Why is that? Listen carefully, friends. Hear me. I am not out to down anyone. I'm not out to hurt anyone. But you've got to learn something. Calvinists, that's Baptists, know all the scriptures about the salvation of the heart spirit, Jesus in the heart. How many heard what I just said? Calvinists, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, they're theologians now, not necessarily their modern churches. Did you catch me on that? But they're old books. They really know what they're talking about as far as salvation of the spirit, Jesus in the heart. How many have been to a good old-fashioned Methodist church? And they said, "I'm not only saved, brother, I'm saved and sanctified." How many have heard that? Saved and sanctified. I've been down to the altar for a second work. How many have heard these terms? For they understand the scriptures having to do with the... This is called Arminian doctrine. How many have heard of that? Calvinistic and Arminian. It's also called Wesleyan. Some of you theologians, nod your heads so that you can teach this after I leave. The Calvinistic doctrine has to do with Jesus in the heart. The Wesleyan or Arminian doctrine has to do with the Holy Ghost in the soul mind. But we have no denomination or church to send you to get scriptures in the Bible about glory of the Father in the... And why is that? Romans 2:7 says, someone turn to it. By patient continuance in well-doing, seek three things. Somebody read it to me, please.
Immortality,
He'll grant eternal life. In one of your modern versions, it says, "He'll grant you eternal life if you seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality." And I'm going to say that again because I don't want those words to pass you by. Seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. I was never taught to seek glory. I was never taught to seek honor. And I was never taught to seek immortality. I was taught to thine be the glory. I was taught not to seek honor. Do you know the word honor means money? Now that didn't go over. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of, say it, double honor, especially they that rule in the word and doctrine. How many know I'm quoting scripture? Now when it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, it does not mean to shake their hand twice as long. The word honor means money. It says, honor the widows that are widows indeed. How many know all these scriptures? And when it says, honor the widows, it doesn't mean to call them up. It means to provide for them in the physical realm with food and clothes. How many have heard of an honorarium? You give a speaker an honorarium, what's he get? He hopes. Seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality by patient continuance and well-doing. Glory is for the physical body. Honor is for the physical body. I don't know whether you caught that or not. Why do you need money? For your spirit? No. For your body. And immortality is for your physical body. Now, if the Bible says seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality, do you think that our God would tell us to seek something we could never achieve? And yet, in 1972, Paul Ebaugh, my father, died, having never heard any preacher preach on Romans 2:7. I looked up Romans 2:7 in every commentary that I could find, and I cannot find a single commentary that even has anything to do with Romans 2:7. Because they were written 70 years ago, 50 years ago. And Dad never heard it either. And Dad went the way of all flesh. Peter said this, I, Peter, have been saved in my spirit. I got Jesus in the heart. I'm being saved in my soul. But my body will not be saved. Even the Lord has shown the way the Lord showed me, I'll be taken where I would not. How many remember that in the book of John? Now listen carefully. But there is reserved in heaven an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Salvation or deliverance ready to be revealed, say it, in the last days. There is a further revelation of a further salvation that's been in heaven but will not be been reserved in heaven but not revealed. Say it. Then that means that those who are alive and remain to the coming of Christ are going to get something that other generations of Christians didn't get. That makes me feel like shouting. Because I believe that this is the generation. I believe that this is the end of one age, the beginning of a brand new age, and that which has been reserved in heaven all the time, an inheritance, is going to be revealed to this generation. And you are going to amount to a whole lot more than Grandpa. Now, am I doing anything that would detract from Grandpa? Because Peter said it's not going to be revealed until the... And preachers didn't preach on Romans 2:7 a few years ago. And they're beginning right now to teach life, not death. And they're finding scriptures that says, seek life. Seek immortality. Overcome the last enemy. Because these are the last days. Praise God. There's a generation of people here who are going to overcome the last enemy, which is death. Now turn to the one next to you and say, you look to me like you can do it. But my friends, no one here is ever going to get the right attitude in your soul mind until you first get Jesus in your heart. Did you hear what I just said? It's 1, 2, 3. It's not 3, 2, 1. The world looks upon union and fulfillment first for the body, second for the soul line, and third, when they're 70 years old, ready to kick the bucket, they get spiritual. Jesus said, you're all mixed up. You start with the spirit, then get your head screwed on straight. How many understood that? And finally get the glory of the Father in your physical body, and you can amount to something. And your path has been set out before you. And the pattern son has already marked the path for us to follow. As Jesus died once for all men. Come on now. Somebody says, isn't it given unto man once to die and after that the judgment? Sure is. So you're going to die tonight. How many want to die? Come on, raise your hands, please. All those that want to die. Pastor, would you get the machine guns, please? Let me show you where you need to die. In your selfish attitude. Did you hear what I said? Let me tell you something. The reason you're in trouble is because you're selfish.
Yes, that's right.
Now, don't turn to the one next to you right now. Every bit of trouble you're in is because of your wagging tongue. If you don't believe it, James told them so in the Bible. Come on, you theologians, help me out right now. I'm in trouble. And it's because of selfishness. And one of these days, you're going to receive enough of the engrafted word, the Bible, to change your mind enough so that you quit manipulating into other people's lives.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
You cut off your Pinocchio nose.
Amen.
I'm talking about long nose in somebody else's business. You understand what I'm talking about? And you start serving others instead of using others to serve you. Now, how many understood that? Now, my boss said it another way. If you want to be top banana, you start as the servant. You said you start at the bottom, right at the feet, with a towel. How many understand all this, you see? If you're going to be the top of the leader, you start out as the minister, as the servant, not the one served. But we tend to manipulate in the lives of others and control them so they might serve us. And the Bible says you're going to die for that. It's just that simple. Those with that attitude are going to die. And those with the servant attitude are going to live and rule and reign. Now, if you don't think this is good Bible, at least it's good psychology. And no one who believes what I have been saying needs a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Your mind is able to adjust to all the situations that come your way. And of course, those who do need help in the mind, I'm trying to show you why, if you are dealing with problems, it's because you're still looking at outer experiences and outer circumstances and saying, well, they're not serving me. Did you hear what I just said? Every person with the counseling problem is because they're saying, those things and those people in that group aren't serving me. And they don't say, what can I do to help? They say, what can they do to help me? Did you understand the difference now? You just watch your own attitude and see that. Jesus, in the past, already saved my spirit. The Holy Ghost, presently and progressively. Can I say progressively? If I designed bumper stickers, how many have seen bumper stickers with messages on cars? The King's coming. Praise the Lord Pinecrest or something like that. If I designed bumper stickers, I would design one that said, caution, Holy Ghost at work. Because the Holy Ghost is changing me from what I am to what I ought to be in the what realm? Mind, soul realm. So Jesus in the past already did it. The Holy Ghost presently is doing it. God the Father will in the future present His glory to the physical body. Not only they, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. How many know I'm in Romans 8:23? For we're saved by hope. I don't know whether you caught that or not. Somebody says, I thought we were saved by faith. Here's what you better learn. This is faith for Jesus to come in the heart. This is faith and works for the Holy Ghost to come in the head. And it's hope for the glory of the Father for the physical body. How many theologians caught that? That'll really rock you when you start reading your scriptures and find out that there's a past, there's a present, there's a future. There's a faith, there's a works. How many know the Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith, it's a gift of God, not of works? Lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Philippians 2, 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How many have been told the Bible contradicts itself? How many would believe that those scriptures seem to be contradictory? Come on! They're not contradictory when you begin to separate man into... Say it. There is nothing contradictory in the Bible when you begin to realize that every scripture has to do either with the spirit or with the soul or with the body. And it's not contradictory. Because Jesus Christ already in the past is by grace you say through faith. Did anyone here do anything good enough to get Jesus in the heart? No. Say no. No. I'm here doing a lot of works to get the Holy Ghost in the head. Maybe you didn't know it, but that's what I'm expecting of you tonight. How many understood that? Works. For attitude changes as the Holy Ghost makes the changes in the mind. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have some more scriptures to show that man and women want union in spirit and soul and body. And that's what it's all about. It's the story of the birds and the bees, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But I'll be using the word spirit and soul and body. I will not be using them interchangeably, but I will be describing the forces that act on you in your life as you respond to this desire to be a creator in spirit or soul or body. How many heard what I said that last sentence? Did you catch it? This forceful desire that's upon you to be a creator in spirit or soul or body. And that's the reason for the trouble you've been in. It's the reason for the perplexity you're in right now. But it's the hope for a better future. When you begin to understand the drives that work upon you for this union which makes you a creator in spirit or soul or body. We'll amplify on that. Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you have learned something tonight? Pretty neat, huh? Praise the Lord. How many of you have been to a church where they said, two souls, three souls were saved last night? Show me one chapter or verse where souls were saved. It's souls are being. Spirits were, souls are being, bodies are going to be. Catch that? Some people hold on to their tradition. Won't let go! Like that tradition was the straw that they had to grab in their dying grasp. Truth is the only thing that's going to get you to shore. And your tradition is going to let you down and you're going to die. Did you hear what I said? only the truth of the B-I-B-L-E. And so that's the reason we like to end up this way. Don't believe a word that I've said. Be like a Berean. Say it. Search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be true.
I wouldn't challenge you that way if I didn't think you'd believe me.
One other thing. Paul prayed for his friends, and this is the way he prayed. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. How many will agree with me that was a good prayer request? How many agree with me that was a biblical prayer request? How many will agree with me that it's just as appropriate tonight to pray that very same prayer as they did 2,000 years ago? Would you stand with me while we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. We pray that you'll change us from what we are to what we ought to be. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit will say yes to Jesus Christ. Every soul will say yes to the Holy Ghost. And whatever gift the Holy Ghost decides to bring to us, we'll accept that gift with pleasure. Wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, gifts of healings and faith in miracles. Whatever those are, Lord, we accept them from the Holy Ghost. Engraft into our souls' minds, O Lord, through the Holy Ghost, so that we might save our souls, change our minds. We also pray for the physical body, not only they, but we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body. Now we pray that every spirit will, and every soul and every body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School, 10